Association and IndieBirth.com. No material on this podcast should be considered medical advice. Birth is not a medical event.
Welcome to IndieBirth series of podcasts here on iTunes, Taking Back Birth. Hi, everyone. This is Marin, and we have another conference preview interview chat for you today. I'm so excited to be talking with Rochelle Garcia Saliga, and she is coming to us from Oregon and is going to be presenting on the postpartum period, which I know so many of you agree with me in believing and knowing that that is one of the most neglected periods of our lives. So I want Rochelle to give a little intro here so you can get to know her, and then we're going to chat a little bit about what she's offering at this conference and why it's going to be so amazing. So welcome, Rochelle.
Thank you, Marin. Thank you for having me. I'm super honored and excited, and it's just a really fantastic feeling. So thank you.
You are so welcome. Tell us a little bit about yourself as a woman, how you got into midwifery. People always love to hear that. Anything that you think will allow people to get a peek into your life a little bit.
Okay. So I spent the early portion of my 20s in revolutionary politics. So I was like the woman on the street with the bullhorn organizing rallies and marches and conferences and all this kind of stuff. And there came a point in time when I started to think about if I really wanted to spend the rest of my life fighting against something that I didn't believe in. And I just started to kind of reevaluate my life and myself really at that time, and realized that I wanted to spend my life creating a system, creating a way of life that I did believe in. And really, I feel like it must have been within a week or two of having those understandings that I met a woman who was a professor, a Chicana studies professor, and she and I were talking one day, and she was telling me how about 10 years before, so I think it was actually in the 1990s, there had been a law that was passed in California that had denied healthcare to quote-unquote illegal immigrants. Mm-hmm. And so that was really affecting the Mexican community there. And especially for women to give birth, it was like, well, if they're legally not allowed to go to the hospital to birth, well, where are they going to birth and how is that going to look? Mm. And so they had formed in their community a birth circle where midwives and healers just began to reteach to women the art of midwifery and the way to support each other at birth, because it was like, well, if there's no other option for us, then this right. is what we're going to do. And it was at that time, like when she said midwife, I hadn't even heard the word midwife, but I was like, midwife, that's what I'm supposed to do. It was just like, that was it. And then literally probably within 2 weeks after that, I met the first ever friend really that I had at that point in my life who was pregnant and expecting her second child. And she asked me to come to her birth. And I had just met her and I was like, wow, like I just met her and, we don't really know each other, but she just really liked my energy and she invited me to her birth and I was honored and I went. And then that just sent me off, you know. And at her birth, she had a beautiful healthy home birth and like that, but she had a big process around it, because even though it was it looked like there was not interventions, she actually felt like the midwives got in her way a lot. Mm-hmm. And so that was my first birth experience, and then I got to hear her process through it, and then I just started to think about how midwifery had to be revived in this country. You know, it was cut off at some point in time, really, and there has really been a revival of it. And I've always felt connected to the ways of our ancestors, because there is so much wisdom in what all of our bloodlines and what all of our lineages have known since time immemorial. And so I just felt like really clear that I was going to Mexico and I was going to go learn with midwives in Mexico, because I wanted to start studying and begin my studies at least from a place where the lineage hadn't been broken. Mm-hmm. And learn in that way. And so then I spent the next, you know, 7 or 8 years back and forth between Mexico and the United States, working with traditional midwives throughout Mexico and then traditional midwives in the United States. And I worked at birth clinics in Mexico and I worked at birth clinics in the United States until I just knew that I was done with my apprenticeship to midwifery. And then it was really when my community started to ask me to be their midwife is when I started to be a midwife, not because I felt like I was ready, but because that's what the women started to ask of me. And so that is a little bit of how I came into midwifery.
Yeah, that's a beautiful story. I just love hearing people's stories of, you know, how they get into this and why. And I love that from the beginning, you were so aware of the traditional model and the traditional midwives. You know, that's so rare now. People are, I think, completely separated from this history. And, you know, in a general sense, it's just become more about like the numbers and the papers and the this and the that. And yeah, I'm with you. I wonder often what happened to that being somebody's primary source of entry. Although that wasn't mine, you know, although the midwife I apprenticed with was very hands off. So I suppose there was a little bit, but yeah, so much different, I think, than what a lot of midwifery students are seeing nowadays.
No doubt.
Yeah.
And I was really blessed, you know, like even when I came back to the United States, I just got really clear. I didn't have the words that I might have now to explain what it was that I was looking for. But, you know, my prayer at the time was like, I really want to learn from a midwife who's practicing in integrity with the tradition of midwifery. And so that was my prayer. And so the midwife that I actually apprenticed with when I lived in Massachusetts for a point in my life, she was originally from Kentucky. And as far as I know, it's still a felony in Kentucky to attend home births. And so the women that she had learned from in Kentucky, I mean, they were just super hands off and they really took care of everything at home because you didn't want to have any kind of involvement with the law at all, really. And so, you know, I learned from her so much of trusting in our natural abilities, like our body's capabilities, because they just took care of most things at home so that they were protected, you know? So even when I was learning in the States, I feel really fortunate to have met that midwife that I apprenticed with in Massachusetts.
Yeah. I had a similar experience in my apprenticeship in the Midwest, Kentucky, Ohio, Indiana, Illinois. You know, the midwives kind of having to do home birth at all costs. And, you know, I think there's a lot of wisdom in being really autonomous and, you know, having that work and learning methods that kind of help you out in that regard. But I think I see it coming back around. Like, if I really can imagine my midwifery dream, it's all of that knowledge coming back around with having access to everything, you know?
Totally.
It's hard being in one of those places. And yeah, it's hard being even here, you know, in Arizona, and home birth isn't very accepted. And yeah, women aren't having access to that full spectrum of care. So yeah, it's such a interesting blend, I think, at least what I picture, but it sounds similar to what you're saying.
Yes, I totally agree with you.
So let's talk a little bit about what you'll be teaching about. I was pretty general. I wanted you to, you know, give the full detailed description, or at least more detailed than the postpartum period. But tell us a little bit about what you're offering. And I'd just love to hear how you focused on that and how that became your passion.
Yeah, totally. So let me see where I go with that. So my daughter is about to be 5. And so really the first, you know, 3 years of her life, I was at home and with her, and I'm still at home and with her. But I mean, just like my energy and my mind and everything was at home and with her. And just in the past couple of years, like I've just started coming out of that. And I just am still not wanting to go to birth, mostly because I'm still not wanting to be on call. I tried going back to birth after she was born, and my nervous system was just wired. And so I don't know if I will pick that up again, but as I thought with, well, what do I do with all of this information and wisdom and knowledge that I've been passed? You know, did I really just spend all of those years doing all of this work, you know, for nothing? And I was like, I have to be able to really look at what I've been taught and value who I am and what I know, and then place importance on everything that my elders in the midwifery world and outside of the midwifery world have shared with me. And surely it's not for nothing, you know?
Sure.
And so when I got to that, and so when I got to that understanding, I'm like, okay, so, well, what do I do with it then? You know, because I don't want to go to birth. And so, okay, I've received all of this. And so then what? And really for me, it was about getting out of my own way. And just putting it out there to spirit and asking spirit what needed to come through me. And what needed to come through me was this class that I have put together. Maren, I need to drink some water.
Sure. Go ahead. Yeah, it sounds a lot like birth, huh? Just allowing yourself to move out of the way and
right.
Yeah.
Totally. And so it was really over the summer that a woman asked if she could interview me for her postpartum blog. And I was like, wow, if I really want to like reach out to the world, what is it that I want to share? And I got this whole download, and you know, it was really a mixture of all of my midwifery teachings and then all of the spiritual teachings I've received from my elders.
Sure.
And it was like this perfect blending of the scientific world with the spiritual world for this understanding that came through as physiologic postpartum care. You know, in the birth world now, I feel like most women in the birth world have heard about physiologic birth, and people have heard of Michelle Odant, and people have heard of undisturbed birth, and people have heard of unassisted birth, you know, and there's this kind of understanding that we need to have certain things at birth for the optimal situation. And the optimal situation is like the healthy passage of mother and baby, where they both feel fulfilled and they feel that the birth process is complete. And whatever the birth outcome is and however it looks, that's not the matter, as long as the mother is in integrity with herself in that process and feels supported in the way that she wants to be supported, is how I see it. And so I was like, well, you know, the same thing applies to the postpartum period. You know, our biology actually mandates certain things from us in the postpartum period. And why is that? Why are we not paying attention to that, you know?
Yeah.
And so I just started to really like look at all of the information, you know, and all of the old teachings, whether it's Ayurvedic or the traditional Chinese medicine or wherever you're sourcing the old information from, they all talk about the postpartum period as being the foundation for a woman's health all the way through menopause. Mm-hmm. And they talk about the postpartum period as being a period that can either totally revitalize a woman or can totally deplete a woman. And all the postpartum traditions, you know, are kind of virtually the same. You know, they're all extended resting period. They're all talking about the importance of warmth. They're all talking about the importance of warm, easily digestible food. They're all talking about, you know, there's just these common threads through all of them. They all have their different cultural flavors depending on where the tradition's from. But essentially, if you look at postpartum traditions throughout the world, they're the same, you know. And so then I just started looking at that, and it was like, well, where does that come from? How is that possible that postpartum traditions from the entire planet are the same, you know, with their cultural context, with their cultural flavoring, but based on the same teachings, you know? And then what came to me was what my elders have taught me is that at one point on this planet, there was actually one race, one culture of people. It is what we think of when we think of humanity. Yeah. And they say that what happened was that at one point in time, because of breaches of commitment that people had with spirit, humanity broke apart into different cultures and into different groups, which became different races and different languages. Mm-hmm. But they say if you look at all of the old teachings, all of the old languages, that you will find the common threads between all of them. I'm sorry, I'm totally moved just as it comes together and comes out to the world, because it's quite powerful, really.
Yeah, it's a very beautiful thought, and I think it's a very sombering thought, and, you know, it's really what knits us all together, which I think is the core of these sorts of issues, you know, that we do know what we used to know somewhere in us. We do know the truth. And people like you are, you know, changing our modern history by reminding us. And so that is the most important role, I think, that one can have, is being that reminder and that teacher, as you are doing. So it is sacred work. That's
yeah,
the truth.
Totally.
Yeah, it is very sacred work.
Yeah. And so, you know, what it is that however, you know, different people want to look at it, and whatever different people's belief systems are, you know, the truth is that no matter where our ancestors come from, no matter what continent people are on, overall, we all have the same biologic or physiologic design as humans, you know? And so the wisdom that comes through these postpartum traditions is that there was an understanding of our design, really, of our biological design, you know, when these traditions were created. And the reason that these traditions are all the same is because all of our ancestors, no matter where we come from, had an understanding of this brilliance, of this perfection of our human form, really. And so as I started to piece all those things together, I was like, well, I really want to understand the science behind this, you know, because, you know, that Japanese scientist who came and made that book, The Messages from the Water, and he took the pictures of the water crystals. Have you seen that?
Yeah.
And so, you know, what that information was, I think, to a lot of people, it's like traditional people have always prayed over the water. Traditional people have always taken care of the water because there is an understanding that water is life, you know. But somehow we've forgotten that in the modern world. And so to me, what that information did was it put into this Western-oriented context. Look at this is what happens to the water. Like, this is what water crystals look like when we are loving, when we are hating, when we are angry, when we are, you know, in all these different states of being. And I was like, that to me is so powerful, because you can bring the old wisdom into modern times with that formula, you know.
Sure. And that's as brilliant in a way, you know. I mean, just to be able to reach people now. That's the formula.
Right. Totally. And so I was like, gosh, I want to know what that is, you know? So just, it was this curiosity that came through, and I just started like putting a huge puzzle together, like gathering the science and putting the science to the postpartum traditions. And it's like, out of that was born this class, this course that I'm now going to be teaching, to train women on offering truly, holistic, comprehensive postpartum care, you know, and just this whole body of information has come through me. And so, yes, that is what I can say about the whole process of that.
I am so excited to learn even the little bit at the conference, because, you know, you have so much knowledge. So we're only going to get a piece, but it's going to be a great piece. And I think that it is so encouraging to think of women getting this knowledge, and then us as midwives, you know, who are going to be at this conference, having enough knowledge to want to get it out into our communities. Because I'm sure I'm not alone in feeling like the postpartum period is so big, you know, it's so overwhelming. And the truth is, one midwife isn't enough for one woman. Totally. You know, we need the village, we need the community to understand. So I think that's what you're talking about too. And I love that you're going to get this information out there because it's going to change the world. It's going to.
Totally.
Yeah.
Totally.
That's amazing. So again, we can't really boil down all of your knowledge and research. We're just trying to give people a taste. What do you think is, I hate to say the most exciting, but the part of this class that will touch the midwives most deeply? What do you think that is, whether it's a piece of knowledge or just a philosophy?
I think that the piece that's going to touch everyone the most is to really come away with an understanding of that the postpartum care really is not a luxury, but a necessity. And to have bits of understandings of why it's actually a necessity. And so I'll speak to a couple of those pieces right now. Mm-hmm. And one of them is, so something that I've done, you know, out of my offshoot of midwifery is I've developed a well woman care practice. And in that practice, I do like holistic well woman care. And so it's my abdominal therapy and holistic pelvic care and holistic breast care and all these things. And, you know, there's kind of a certain thread. Just how in this country there's so many women with like disharmonious relationships with their monthly bleeding cycle, and there's so much pain, and there's just so much disease and really dysfunction of our feminine landscape as women, you know. And the mm-hmm. same is true for the menopause time in this country. And I feel like menopause has such a bad rap in this country in general, you know.
Sure.
And it's like, well, why is it that menopause is so hard? And is menopause actually that hard? And if you actually start talking with women who have passed through menopause healthy in their bodies and in their minds and in their emotions and their spirits, it's challenging and it's beautiful, like how birth is, you mm-hmm. know. Mm-hmm. And so just in my exploration of things and what I've seen in my practice is that there's certain issues that start to surface for women during menopause. And one of those is pelvic issues. So women will come in, you know, having just gone through menopause, and they'll say things like, you know, I have never had pelvic issues my entire life until I went through menopause. And now I'm feeling prolapsy, or I'm feeling this pain, and there's like the vaginal dryness, and there's just all these pelvic things that they didn't have an awareness of before, that it just wasn't part of their reality. And what I found in piecing things together in terms of postpartum care for women, especially pelvic postpartum care for women, is that what happens is that the estrogen that we have in our bodies as women during our childbearing years actually masks pelvic symptoms, because what estrogen does is it keeps us juicy, it keeps everything lubricated, you know, it's that juicy kind of hormone. And when estrogen starts to drop as we go through menopause, and progesterone starts to drop as well, all of these sensations and imbalances in the pelvic area actually that were there all along can just finally be felt mm-hmm. and kind of come to the surface, you know? And so then what happens if you start imagining then, well, how would it be if we all were receiving this pelvic care just in itself after birth, sure. you know? How would that experience then be for all of our childbearing years, you know, and then going through menopause? And then you just start looking at the rates of things, you know, it's like one in three women in this country over the age of 60 no longer has a uterus. Mm. And it's like, well, you know, well, why is that? You know, and it's because there is so many things that are not attended to during our childbearing years that our bodies can kind of just handle because we're in our youth and because we have this whole flow of hormones. And then once we get into menopause, all of these things come to the surface, and Western medicine is really not set up right now to be able to take care of these matters that are coming up for women, you know?
Right.
So that's a piece of it. The piece of it is like the importance of pelvic care, because we can handle it and we can survive and we can push through in our childbearing years. And as we go through menopause, there's a big shift there.
Oh. Yeah. Yeah. I can see how that would be so valuable. And again, it's, you know, valuable for women. And then I think it's just really rethinking midwifery too, to consider that this is the midwife's role. You know, it is for us to understand the entire life cycle and to be attentive and to know as much as we can, whether it's new knowledge or old knowledge. Yeah. And really keep up with that so that we can best serve our communities. I mean, that's, I think, what you're offering that is just so needed is that, that real, you know, holistic approach to the entire life cycle and being of a midwife, not just the birth part.
Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it sounds amazing. I know it will be. We can't wait to have you here, and just hope that everybody listening can come and hear Rochelle share about this amazing research and traditional knowledge that she's compiled to share with all of us so that we can better serve women and be more well-rounded midwives who care about every part of what's going on. So any last words of wisdom, Rochelle, before we see you here in January?
Let me think. Well, I'm just really, again, honored to be able to come to the conference and to be able to share. And yeah, just thank you for having me here today, Maren.
Oh, yes. Our pleasure. And I know you feel the same. I just love that we connected, you know, having similar visions and just kind of found each other and knowing that it's just the right thing to have you come and teach and for us all to be together and connect, really. So thank you.
Yeah. Thank you for doing this. Thank you for to birth in this whole new paradigm, which is really, I feel like a big, it's a shift from surviving as humans to thriving. And I feel like that's what the earth is asking of us right now. And I feel like that's what this conference that you have designed is really doing. It's asking us to step up into who we are as people so that we can thrive and not just survive.
Yes. Yes. That is a beautiful way of putting it. I could not have said it better. And I agree. All of the teachers, I think the women attending, of course, the right people are always there. And I think that is definitely the theme that everybody very much cares about sharing what they have in authenticity and integrity, knowing that everything that's shared there is so much bigger than what it even is, you know? It's a worldview and it's how we're going to go home and be better people and be better midwives because we're able to all connect and be together. So that is true. That is the new paradigm of life to enjoy that part.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yes.
Very much. All right. Well, thanks for listening, everybody. Be sure to visit indiebirth.com/conference to learn more about specific conference events. And we hope to see you in January 2016.